Hey guys, it's Rob, and before we start today's show, a brief word of warning. We address some topics on today's show that are pretty intense, and quite honestly, some of you may find them triggering. So please be advised, and thank you.
Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I'll give you a great example.
Okay.
There is a big difference between writing an instruction manual for how to put together a stereo, then there is a James Patterson novel.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Fair. That's
but do you know that if Patterson wrote an instruction manual, it would be great?
Thank you. Excuse me. Sorry.
There you are.
Excuse me. I'm very sorry.
God. What is the matter with you?
What's wrong with me? I don't know.
It is a Majaro.
We got the shot on Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, it's just starting to get in there.
It's Monday. It's
I getting can't in tell good. You. It's just this one. I don't know. Maybe a new formula.
This is an A-list pop star in her underwear. I oversold
and,
it.
And there was no nudity whatsoever.
Oscar, thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
There was nothing. Your day, you're different. Oscar. Wasted my time.
No, I don't think so.
I'm just kidding.
I don't think so.
Oscar knows what I like.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Monday edition of The Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa. You can't see it. I'll learn it down. I'm showing the colors today.
Yeah, I love it.
Hey, you.
Of American University, my alma mater. Right there. I went to AU after I went to Marist College.
Where you were famously roommates with Bill O'Reilly.
I was not. Stop it. Jump right in on that. I did not room with Bill O'Reilly.
But you were roommates with Tony Perkins.
No.
No.
I was friends with Tony Perkins. Tony and I had a lot of the same class.
Not at Marist. At AU.
At American University.
That's right.
Mm. Tony and I had a lot of the same.
You roomed with Ed Walker.
Did not room with Ed Walker. I went, a class of mine, by the way, Ed Walker, a legendary Washington, D.C. radio personality.
Yes. Older. That was an age joke I made, you see.
Thank you.
Okay.
And then our class went and watched him, and he was blind, and it was amazing to watch him work because he did everything. He didn't have anybody helping him. He did everything. He read the copy in Braille. He queued up records. He took phone calls, and I remember watching the first of all, he's one of the nicest guys in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched him work with one of my broadcast journalism classes, and I just was like, this guy's very, very special. And going way, way back, Ed Walker worked with Willard Scott as a radio team called the Joy Boys back before my era in Washington, D.C., and just really good guys back in a kinder, gentler time when radio personalities were kind of fun and sweet and kind.
And radio and stations were full-service radio stations.
They're full-service radio stations. Mm-hmm. And then it was, you know, the era of meme where I came into play, where we were shock jocks and pushing the envelope and doing that. And then we kind of moved the traditional type of morning shows out. And, you know, it changed for forever. So it was you watching Ed at the time. He was on National Public Radio or the local public radio station in Washington, D.C., and watching him was pretty cool. And then my college radio station was actually in the basement of WAMU, which was National Public Radio. And I think National Public Radio had a headquarters there, too.
Still there?
Yeah.
Still there. And I remember we'd go down, you'd go down into a driveway and then right around the back. And we were at the back entrance a little, but a whole fleet of studios in there. And it was fun. And I had a lot of friends there. Alan Wenzel was there.
Yeah.
I had Jeff Newman, who was a friend of mine, who went on to be in radio. Tony Perkins was there. A lot of people. And it was super fun to be involved. A lot of them stayed in the business, which is kind of cool. Listen, I could go on and on and on. I think I'm padding. Rob Spiewak called us last night and wanted to have the beginning or as much of the show as he wants today, because unfortunately we have a very, very sad situation that happened in Rob's extended family by marriage. And it's just something that Rob felt compelled to come in and talk about. And Oscar and I agreed it's, you know, to let him have the floor for a very, very difficult subject that a lot of people don't talk about. And it's affected so many people in the United States, but in particular, our own Rob Spiewak and his family.
Mm-hmm.
And I should mention to people listening right now that Rob had not planned to come in here and talk about this family tragedy, but because of the ordeal and what they had experienced, and because we have previously discussed this subject on our show and we feel it's important, Kathy wanted Rob to come in and tell the story in the hopes that it would be something that would be helpful for people that might be dealing with a similar situation. I think that's the intro that I'll give you with this, Rob. You can
thank you.
You can take it from here.
It was Friday that this all went down. And before I start with that, I should say that so many people in the fan club and the P1s and people that come to the live shows over the past 5 years have gotten to know my stepmom, Kathy. And
yep.
She's fantastic. She's extraordinarily
nice
special. Treats my dad so well, treats my kids so well. It's a bonus for my kids to have an extra grandmother. And she is extraordinarily loved. She married my father 16, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And with the marriage, she had two kids from a previous marriage, Josh, who was the younger, and Carla, who was her daughter. And they, you know, I've familiar with them. We've hung out. We've done family events together. We go to the beach together. Mm-hmm. I wasn't extraordinarily close to either of them, but I knew them quite well. And I was on my way home on Friday. And one other piece of backstory I should give you is that for about 5 months or so, back to March, Carla has been, this is Kathy's oldest daughter from the previous marriage. She has had struggles. She has been trying to find a proper medicine to help her mentally feel like herself. She wanted to
struggles with
mental health. Mental health. Yeah. She, it all started amazingly with a facial that she had a bad reaction to. And there was some, you know, redness, a little swelling. And she started looking at herself in the mirror. And I suppose that was what triggered what could have already been bubbling beneath the surface. Because the Carla I knew was extraordinarily sweet, good mom, great mom, but also quiet and a little subdued. She wasn't the loudmouth in the room. So especially in my family, that's someone who gets pushed aside sometimes. Mm-hmm. But she was looking at herself and she said, I just don't see myself. I don't feel like myself. I don't recognize the person in the mirror.
This is back in March.
March. And so she began to feel that because she wasn't who she thought she wasn't a good mother.
Mm.
And started really questioning all of her sort of decisions and daily duties. And it was bad enough that back in March, Kathy came up from Miami and lived with her since March and did everything she could.
March, did she have
any
episodes?
No, no episodes at all.
Moments?
No, she was quiet, as I said, and kept to herself a mm-hmm. little bit, but perfectly normal. And I stress again, a great mother to her two kids who are now 16 and 11. So Kathy was, there were dozens, literally dozens of doctor's appointments they went to. They
mental health professionals,
yeah, professionals and all of this. It was hard to find a medicine that seemed to help her. She'd try them. Sometimes she would resist, but she would try them and then find she didn't like the way they make her felt physically. So it was a struggle for 5 months to try and get her to feeling normal and feeling like she was a good mom and making the right decisions in her life. And it was very sad, but it was with Kathy by her side, we never doubted that somehow a solution would be found. You know, it came on suddenly, and we thought that we could figure out a way. That was sort of the opinion among the family.
Her mental issues came on suddenly?
I mean, if this is only a five-month episode that happened. And so we thought that with finding the proper doctor, finding the proper medication, the ship could be righted. Well, as I was home, I was going home on Friday. I stopped by the grocery store. And when I came out, I had missed a call from my father and I had gotten a text from my father. And before I could even retrieve the text, because I'd left the phone in the car, the phone rang again and it was my dad. And we occasionally miss calls from each other, but he's not the kind of person that will double up on a call. He knows I'll get back to him, right? And I pick up the phone and he says, I feel so helpless right now and I need your help. Carla has shot herself and she's dead. And it totally, totally floored me. So unexpected, so tragic. And again, even today, I don't know if my head is still spinning from the actual experience of what I went through or the emotional experience that I went through or the empathetic experience of her kids and her mom and all. It's still spinning around in my head. So I'm talking to my dad and I look on the phone. Carrie's 4 minutes from home. And I said, okay, Carrie will be home in 4 minutes. We'll get in the car and we'll go over to the house. So up to now, since March, Carla had been living in a house that Kathy actually owns, a townhouse in Springfield, which is a suburb of DC here. And so we get in the car and I tell Carrie, obviously before we get in the car, and she's as shocked as I am. And our heads are, you just can't grab it. It's just so weird. And so we drive over there, get over to the place. Kathy had found one other person from work, a good friend of hers that was nearby and came by. So there was two of them there and we showed up. And that's when I started to see why my dad felt so useless in this, because Kathy's son lives in Tampa. My dad is in Miami. I was an hour away in Leesburg. There was no one to come to her aid. And
talking about your stepmom.
Yeah, my stepmom. She's sitting there alone. And I'm talking to Carrie on the way over, and my head is going 75,000 miles an hour. I said, God, I don't want to walk in on a body. I don't know what to expect.
It's a high price for you to, like, you're such a giver. Like, I wouldn't know how to react.
I had only texted with her. I confirmed the address. We were on the way. So we get there. There is a fire truck, two squad cars outside. Go in. She's on the couch with her buddy, Kevin is his name, and just hug for what seems like 15 minutes. And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
And it's a parent going through that.
Oh, and it's,
can I ask you a question?
Yeah, of course. And I welcome questions because I'm still mixed up. I want
to
make sure I communicate.
Because we spoke last night about this. Your stepmom moved in with her.
Yeah,
with,
5 months ago in March.
Because she was worried.
Worried about,
about her mental health.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay,
and
that's
she actually,
when all the doctor's appointments began and everything?
Carla actually reached out to her mom in March and said, I don't know what I'm going through, and I wouldn't ask you to do this if it wasn't horribly important, but won't you come up and see me? And that was eventually going to be just a visit that turned into 5 months.
So your stepmom recognized that there were
absolutely
more serious problems.
Absolutely.
Going on.
And that's why
the medical attention.
So many attempts with all different. As a matter of fact, on Thursday of last week, they had a brain MRI because they were so much at the end of their rope. They thought, is there something wrong with the wiring? And we don't even have the results from it yet. But there was they did a brain MRI. And so the cops come down and they ask, and this is, to me, it's almost like, if I can explain this, I'm watching myself in this situation. Because how many times have you seen this played out in movies or television where the cops are coming to ask what's going on? On the way over, I knew a little bit to expect because Carrie and I are sitting in just perfect silence in the car. I said, can you Google what goes on when someone kills themselves? And she said, yeah. And so we knew a little bit what to expect from the police procedure, but it's certainly not living it. And we get there and Carla shot for sport. She owned a gun. And Kathy knew this and for all 5 months has been searching for that gun just out of precaution to at least get it out of the house or separated from the ammunition.
So were there threats before? Were there comments made about, I don't deserve to live or
there
something
were
like
allusions
that.
Made to it. Nothing ever set in concrete. No threats.
But I mean, it was mentioned.
Yes, yes. And, you know, anytime you see someone struggling for that many months, you want to think ahead.
Yeah.
And so the fact is that Kathy was unable to find the gun despite searching for months for it. The police mentioned that the powder room the bathroom adjacent to the master bedroom, the air conditioning vent had been bent back, and that had not been there before. And Kathy did not search behind the vent. So they assumed that's where the gun had been put.
So she hid it.
Yeah, she did hide it. And so the policeman comes down and says, I have a few questions. Could we have a little privacy? And I said, that's fine. And so Carrie and
privacy between your stepmom
and the policeman. And so Carrie and me and the friend, we go to the kitchen and, you know, we just hear mumbles in the other room. And
your stepmom discovered her. Correct?
Yes. Well, I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
And this is horrible as well. And I'm hearing just dribs and drabs of the conversation. And finally he invites us back in. Something else they found, which was remarkable, is a notebook, just a simple spiral bound notebook like you would have for school. And in the middle of it, there were notes. And Kathy, to my knowledge, hasn't read them yet. The police were able to determine what they were. But in this notebook, there were letters to her kids that she wrote on July 5th. They were dated July 5th.
Regarding her suicide?
That's what we assume. Yeah. And it's sort of a goodbye letter. And then an additional undated letter that was likely written that day. And then other things started to come into that made sense. Like the day before, Carla, Kathy's daughter, had gone to the bank and signed over the ability for her to control all of her finances to Kathy. So this was definitely planned. And the weird thing is going up to it, is she was acting more like herself on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday leading up to the suicide than she had in months, almost like she was getting better. And I did a little Googling and reading, and that oftentimes happens when a decision is made, that there's an end game, that she knew perhaps intrinsically that if her life was going to end on Friday, a lot of this suffering is done. And maybe that is why she was so upbeat for her those last few days. While all the police were there, she was supposed to watch her kids. They share custody. And while the police were there, the daughter showed up to be dropped off. And Kathy sent this happened probably about 15 minutes after the discovery of the body. And so she had to send one of the officers out to tell the father that Keegan can't come in right now.
So the father was taking one of the children home?
Yeah, for the weekend. And so she was able to, they were able to dodge that by...
Where was the other child?
The other child was actually with his friends in Old Town, and he was going to return to the father's house. So he was not going to see anything. And they handled it in such a way that the daughter, who's 11, was not suspicious. It was just that mom can't do this right now.
Oh, that age.
And then, so we had been in touch with the dad, or Kathy had, I should say, and the brother. And it was sort of made as a decision not to tell the kids that night because it would give them one more night of normalcy and a decent night's sleep. and just an extra day. It wouldn't change much to tell them 12 hours later. Well, the son's friends in the neighborhood saw all the action and texted the son and said, "What's going on at your mom's house?" And he says, "I don't know." And he asked his dad, and his dad told them that night. But there's really no way. I mean, that's a different scenario. As opposed, not telling is different than hiding the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So they told them simply that Carla had passed away. They didn't go into any details, which I think is best. And once we got, you know, it was an interminable amount of time waiting for the officers to resolve all of this stuff. And we're just waiting there. And there's so little to do except look at each other and cry and just try to hang on. And then a officer to my estimation, much too cheerful demeanor, comes down and says, "Well, we're about done. We're going to bring the body down in a bag now. So if you want to hang here, that's fine. Or if you want to divert your eyes, that's your choice." And
just matter of factly.
Yes. And Kathy said, "Could I see the body one more time?" And then again, just without any sort of care, he says, "We had to move around. She doesn't look so good. You may want to wait till she gets to the funeral home." Just no sort of comfort, not even a drop of comfort in it. Just very matter of fact. Now, I dig that that's their job and they do this and they have to deal with this situation probably more often than they even care to. But I found it a little abrupt.
I'm not going to tell you a few. Just feel like I don't think anybody will ever find any way of delivering that type of news the adequate way.
I guess you're right.
Framework.
You're right. But it just seemed so, so weird at the time. And so they told us what they were going to take with them, which I had mentioned. They brought the notebook down and left it on the coffee table. And as I said, to our knowledge, nobody's read it yet, but it exists there. They haven't told the kids about it yet, but they will. And she was removed. And about this time is when we found out that the kids knew that their mom was dead. And so we left there and went over to the dad's house and had to sit with the kids and mostly silence. I mean, what can you say? It was a surreal amount of sadness. There's just nothing you can say when you're looking at a young, handsome 16-year-old and a beautiful young 11-year-old.
Terrible age.
5 hours earlier, they had it all. And it had all absolutely shifted. I talked to her at length many times yesterday, and it was in the evening when I said, "This is totally your call. And I think it would be valuable to discuss it if you have any parameters. If you don't want me to mention it at all, I understand." She says, "No, I've been thinking about this. I want you to tell the story. Tell the story because of whatever miswiring or whatever mental process Carla was going through, she thought this would solve something. And it doesn't. It makes it so much worse for everybody around her, for someone who was so concerned that she couldn't be a good mother. She thought this was a solution. And I tell you, by God, it's not. It is not."
Well, it's the crisis that we have. And once again, there is nothing that can be said in a situation like this. And I think one of the other reasons you had told me last night, and correct me if I'm wrong,
right,
is that leading up to this, the experiences weren't all satisfactory.
They were all horrible. There were, as I said, dozens and dozens of doctors. She was trying to find a fourth psychiatrist that they could try to find something, some crack in the armor that would give them an idea of what to treat. They got through the psychiatrist number 4 in 5.5 months.
So one of the reasons she had wanted you to come in and talk about it, because she wanted you to tell the story
of how broken the system is,
which haven't we heard that again and again and again, about what the problem with the mental health care system.
She told the psychiatrist that she was worried for her life. And he said, Kathy told this newest psychiatrist.
Oh, your stepmom
did. Yeah, that she was worried for Carla's life. And the psychiatrist said, oh, we absolutely will see her. Yes, we have availability in mid-September.
This is telling at many levels. And like, this is probably not easy for anybody within our audience, whether they've dealt with this or not, to hear. My personal opinion is that people don't really think about this until they hear it firsthand from someone they know, right? So this is going to be helpful. Also, coming off the heels this past, I think it was June or May, we had Dr. West on, and he has a podcast called Let's Talk About Your Guns.
Yeah.
And within each...
Primarily directed at members of the military, veterans.
Yeah, and beyond. And
yeah,
beyond.
But still, and beyond. So many things that apply here.
Some of the tactics you talk about is that if someone is, even if they have access to firearms, even if it's casual because they use it for sport,
right?
Or they go shooting.
Right.
Like all of these aspects of not just gun safety, but you know, you're dealing with someone that is not 100% like themselves. So the idea of removing or finding out where the weapons are and coming up with a plan together with that person to say, okay, we all know, we can agree that things aren't 100% here. Let's take these weapons and put them X, Y, and Z somewhere else outside the house, or account for them with that person.
Or at least store the gun and the ammunition in separate places.
Correct.
Well, here's what's interesting about that, though. When Dr. West was on the show, I remember distinctly the discussion being the spontaneous nature of these suicides that occur. And the thing is that what intrigued me about what happened here is that this was not spontaneous.
No, this was definitely
premeditated.
Planned.
And it just, but I think you'll agree, Oscar, that I think some of the principles that he discussed regarding, you know, put them in a safe place, you know, that applies to this situation as well.
Yes.
When she had obviously taken the time to put it somewhere else where nobody could find it.
Yes.
Monday
morning. Like there's no way to replay this.
Right.
It's more about learning from this.
It's why we're
and understanding what's possible, because, you know, candidly, Rob had given me some context about this family member in passing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, none of that conversation was like, this is going to happen anytime soon. This person's just having a bad time.
Right.
So no one knows, what's going through someone's mind and what type of help they should be getting, or it's just impossible to navigate. The Centers for Traumatic Stress, which is where Let's Talk About Your Guns comes from, talks about that it's like the idea of the unknown is just that. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's painful to think about that you're going through this, your family's going through this, and you just like, and for me as your friend, as I wrote you privately, I said, I don't want you to forget about yourself, that you're in the middle of a recovery,
right?
That
you've had a hell of a year.
Yeah. You're not Superman and you want to be with everybody, but you also have to be a little selfish and think about yourself, which is impossible to do when it's your family.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
You know, and
knowing if you know anything about my stepmom, Kathy, she's the one that organizes. She's the one that takes care of things, and she can't this time. And that is so sad for her. One thing that I did want to mention is that at one point, I think about a month and a half ago, Kathy's daughter, Carla, admitted herself to the psych ward at Fairfax Hospital.
She did it herself. And when was this again? I'm sorry.
I think about a month and a half or 2 months ago. I'm sorry.
While you're While your stepmom was still living with her.
Yeah, while Kathy was with her. So obviously that was supported. And when you are checked in before a physician sees you, you're given what is called a sitter, which is basically someone with some medical background that stays with you. Make sure you're not going to do anything stupid. Calm you down. Be your sort of advocate until the doctor sees you. And the doctor came in that same night and sent her home. And the sitter said, "Doctor, this is not a wise move. We need to keep her here." And the doctor, for reasons only known to the doctor, sent her home. I don't know if it was there wasn't a bed. I don't know if it was his professional opinion.
How many times do you think that happens? I'm sure that happens tons of times.
Tons of times.
Because there are obviously limited resources.
Yes.
And you have to kind of, on a case-by-case basis, determine what the course of action will be. This is a woman who obviously probably needed to be in a facility.
In a facility, yeah.
And
it's,
you know, as Oscar said, Monday morning quarterbacking is difficult to do.
Very hard.
I think people can beat themselves up about what was, I think if you got a mom who moved back in.
Yeah.
This woman was, you said 40?
40.
40 years old. When you move back in with a 40-year-old who has children, you know, that's, you obviously care.
Oh,
you
and
care
she
so
did.
Much it hurts.
She did everything. It was wearing her down how much she cared because it was nonstop for 5 months.
And the idea of this, and, you know, Kathy's not alone in going through this kind of pain. It
right.
happens constantly in the United States. I was talking to my mother-in-law today about this situation, and she said something along the lines of, I just don't know what's going on. And there's a lot of that in the world now. There's a lot of
sadness.
That.
Yeah.
Sadness, anger, depression.
Looking for an escape somehow.
Fear,
yeah.
More than I remember it being. And I'm talking during my adult life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you know, where it went wrong, but it, you know, I think that it's tougher for people. I just believe that. I believe it's tougher for people now than it ever has been. And some might say, oh, that's ridiculous. Look at all we have. Look at the technology we have. Look at all the conveniences we have. Look at our media. Look at it. I don't know. I sense, and I don't know
I feel
how you
that
guys
the media,
feel about
the
it.
Media is part of it.
No, I just feel as though it's a tougher haul for people nowadays.
I do too.
And I'm not talking that. That's not has nothing to do with your belief systems or anything like that. I think the world tends to move faster and faster and faster, and it's hard to keep up. As a parent, I can tell you, it's hard for me to keep up with everything. And I think that it's so frustrating. And you know, look, there are so many people that have suffered. The thing that's sad about anybody taking their own life is that you may, in whatever jumbled mental picture your broken mind has created, think that you're the problem and you being out of the picture will benefit somebody, but it doesn't benefit anybody.
It doesn't.
Really never does. It
doesn't.
Does more damage. It's selfish. It is, any way
I
you
know.
Slice it.
I know.
And it's just horrific. And I just feel for, your mother in law, and it's just something that you don't know. You really don't know what to say. You don't know how to. There's no way of offering comfort in that situation.
And
you know?
it was with dread that I even brought it to you guys last night when I called you guys, because it's like there's no way it can be made better. It's just a tragedy, but I couldn't spring it on you today.
No, we want to be able to support you.
And it's just, and I do before
I'd
we...
I'd rather know that than, you know, you like, we want to help you.
I know. And there's two things I need to say, and I'm not shutting down the conversation, but I need to say this, is that on purpose, Kathy has been vague with her grandkids, Carla's children, about exactly what happened. And I think that's wise.
Yeah.
They'll get to the truth sooner or later. But if you reach out to Kathy on social media, bless you. Please don't mention any gritty details. The best way to probably contact her, Facebook Messenger, where it's just between you two.
I think that's all communication with her. Please don't make it public.
Yeah.
We would appreciate, she has a lot of online friends.
Yes, she
and
does.
It would be, I think Facebook Messenger would be, if you want to reach out. Please don't, you know, just look, we're putting this out there. This is public, but this is Rob's mutual decision with his mother-in-law, his stepmom,
yeah.
His stepmom to...
So we've all met.
And love.
So you know, use your
yeah. And the other thing is that when I finished up talking to her yesterday, she said, hug your loved ones. Please make a valid effort this very day to hug your loved ones. And know that if you have any inclination that you want to take your life, it's a wrong decision. Do what you have to do to make sure you don't do it. Seek help, seek a friend, counseling, get rid of your weaponry in your house. Don't do it, man. It's the way it has crumbled a family system in the flip of a coin for us is staggering. It's just unbelievable. So consider that. Consider the power you hold in your hand to so many people if you make that wrong decision. And as Mike said, it's always the wrong decision. Always. And hug your loved ones. Hug your kids. Tell them you love them. It's very important. Very, very important.
If you're struggling, it's okay to share your feelings. We're sharing this because if you're struggling, there's help out there.
There is.
Where you can get people to help you. Many, many different ways to do it. Calling 988
yes.
is the number one. If you feel like a need and you're thinking, even if this discussion has made you think, there are people that can talk to you. They know how to deal with this situation. And if you are hurting, the suicide and crisis lifeline is 988 and reach out. Help is available. It doesn't always work, as Rob has discussed here. When
be vigilant,
you get into the
keep
system.
Trying. Keep
but as far
trying.
As an immediate need, if you're in that situation, connect with Pete and connect with people that can help you. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to get back to what we do on this show.
Thank you guys for letting me speak that
to your stepmom, sorry, Kathy, mm-hmm. and to your dad. And to their whole family, our absolute 100% condolences for a very, very difficult situation. And if you know somebody that's in that situation, don't wait. Get the help you need.
Amen.
And, if there is a situation like that, I think based on what we've done before, get the guns out of the house.
Yeah.
You can. We'll be right back. We are sponsored by Groove Life. Level up your style game with Groove Life belts. I've made the switch, and these belts are my constant companions. I wear them every day, wearing it right now. The Groove belt boasts unique webbing for perfect stretch. I can tell you it does. It's got a revolutionary buckle with powerful neodymium. Thank you. Magnets. No hassle. Just snap it on effortlessly. Say farewell to bothersome belt flaps with the ingenious Stiff Tech buckle. Trust me, your waist will thank you. Plus, Groove Life backs it all with a whopping 94-year warranty. Once you touch it, you'll know why they do that. It's built, baby. It makes it the ultimate belt investment. But hold on, there's more. Groove Life offers exceptional wallets and so much more. Elevate your essentials today with Groove Life. It's time to bring your belt into the 21st century. Head to groovelife.com/TMOS for 20% off all Groove Life products. That's the best offer you'll find. But you have to use our link, groovelife.com/TMOS. That'll get you 20% off your order. One last time, that's groovelife.com/20% /TMOS. It wasn't in there, but that's okay. groovelife.com/TMOS for 20% off your order. Just click the button on our website, ladies and gentlemen. Take it away, Rob. Play the thingy.
Normally you play it.
Oh, okay. I thought we were going to. All right. I thought you were doing that.
No, no.
Okay.
Because you have the horn now.
Oh, that's right. I'll play the horn. I'm sorry. It's been a weird morning.
Trust me, I feel you. Okay. Oh, there it is.
Oh, my God.
Britney Spears posted one of her trademark sexy dance videos over the weekend, and she dropped some word salad in the caption that counts as her first public comment on her impending divorce. She said, quote, 6 years is a long time to be with someone, so I'm a little shocked, but I'm not here to explain why, because it's honestly nobody's business. But I couldn't take the pain anymore, honestly. She added, quote, I've been playing it strong for way too long, and my Instagram may seem perfect, but it's far from reality, and I think we all know that. I would love to show you my emotions and tears on how I really feel, but for some reason, I've always had to hide my weaknesses. If I wasn't my dad's strong soldier, I would be sent away to places to get fixed by doctors. Interesting to have this today.
Hmm.
But that's when I needed family the most. So she's kind of rambling a little bit. She also assured her fans that she's, quote, actually doing pretty damn good.
By her own yardstick?
And as if to drive that point home, she posted a new topless video horsing around with a bunch of guys. So she's getting through it. And
have you seen these videos?
I have not looked. Have you checked them out?
I mean, just sheer show research.
Just show research. I'm shocked that you were able to pick up on
this. They are not safe for work.
Mike, to be fair, Oscar is one of the guys she's horsing around with.
They are not appropriate. This is nothing that came out of her camp when she was under the conservatorship.
Uh-huh.
And this is nothing that came out when she had what seemed to be a stable relationship. There's a crotch shot in this video that's out there.
Really?
That is something that we never, I feel like, have not seen from her, even in some of her most decadent music videos.
Really?
Yes.
Where did you find it?
It was sent to me.
Is it not on Instagram?
It was sent to me by a listener. Said, did you see this? I said, no. And I clicked and I sent it.
A listener, Mike, and he said, no, Merle, I haven't seen it.
I just don't. Oscar gets these.
I have sources.
Yeah, he's connected.
He found it himself.
No, I can show you the link. Look. Bush.
It's not safe for work.
I want to clear my name, my good name. Who sent it to me.
It's a great name.
But have you seen these? Right? Someone sent them to me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's valid.
Not a pervert.
Yeah, no.
Somebody sent them to me.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to send them to you? Well, no.
Like, you say kind of, something.
I'm sorry. You kind of sold it, Oscar.
All right.
I hate to say that, but you kind of.
Okay, you got to look at it now, though.
How long is it?
It's quick. It's just a video.
It's getting longer.
Stop it. Wow. Wowzy.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
Lose the volume, dude.
Hold on a sec here.
I've got mine on mute.
Attaboy.
Oh, wait a minute. I have my airplane mode on. Hold on just a second. I do that now. Airplane mode off. Airplane mode off.
I have sent this to you and to your Instagram account.
See,
messages.
Folks, we, what did you send it to?
Your IG.
Oh, he'll never find it. Can't you text it?
Can you just text it to me?
Fine.
Do you ever check your Instagram DMs? Slip into your DMs?
God almighty.
No.
Not enough. You made me late already.
Could I have my porn videos, Brad?
Can I be honest with you? Isn't the long form roundtable much better?
Now, I like it.
You can have these discussions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's on the table with both you perverts. Mac, you don't get it.
There it is.
Well, he's not old enough yet. You gotta be 40, right?
No. I think this is it's actually sad.
I'm not sad yet.
It's not something, if you're going to look at it, don't put your screen towards the glass. Just yourself, please.
That's right.
Like a
gentleman?
Like a pervert.
A gentleman
trying
pervert.
Trying to hide his perversions. Wait till the end. Just wait for it.
I'm waiting. A lot of quick cuts. Her eyes don't look good.
It's time for the butterfly net.
Oh, it's been time.
Like, no, it's time for the commercial grade one.
Like a big fella?
Something that they use like on long haul trucking or on Deadliest Catch.
All right, well, now it's repeating.
The big net.
I didn't see anything.
You didn't see the leg split?
I saw it.
Yeah, with the pink.
Oh, you're just used to stuff like that?
What?
From Britney Spears? No, I've never seen that in my life.
I think, to be honest with you, I think you oversold.
Sorry. I mean, I'm just being...
This is an A-list pop star in her underwear. I oversold it.
And there was no nudity whatsoever. And that's the... I'm giving full disclosure.
You can't do that on Instagram. You'll get banned.
Then, I mean, but I'm just saying there was nothing...
Oscar, thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
There was nothing... You're taking a different... Oscar... wasted my time.
No, I don't think so.
Oscar knows what I like.
That's disgusting.
That's gross.
I like that.
All right, this may very well. This may very
you know
well.
What I, like.
I feel now that we have completely.
Show me what
our,
I like.
The dirty stuff.
I feel like we've now, because of that, completely cleansed the palate.
Yes.
And we can be ourselves.
Okay.
This may very well change how movie and TV producers feel about using artificial intelligence on... stop it. Yes.
What happened?
I don't know,
need to go back to airplane mode.
I don't know.
He's getting more messages now.
On Friday,
from
a
Brittany.
U.S. district... Listen.
From all the listeners of the perversions.
Hey, listen.
You like this, Mike? I think you like
this. Hey, this one's even
listen
better.
Listen to me.
Okay, go.
On Friday, a U.S. district judge ruled... This is cool to me.
Okay.
That you can only copyright works created by humans, not AI. A guy named Stephen Thaler sued because he was denied a copyright on a piece of artwork that was, quote, autonomously created by a computer algorithm running on a machine. But the judge said, quote, human involvement in and ultimate creative control over the work at issue was key to the conclusion that the new type of work fell within the bounds of copyright. So human involvement, what the judge is saying, that if it's not created by humans, if it's created by AI, it can't be copyrighted.
Now,
because anybody can do it. I'm all in on that.
But what if you do something that is modified by AI that is material?
I think it ought to be. Look, I think AI is fine. But as far as writing and creating.
Okay, I'm with you.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, if you're doing stuff that's not going to be. I'll give you a great example.
Okay.
There is a big difference between writing an instruction manual for how to put together a stereo than there is a James Patterson novel.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Fair.
But do you know that if Patterson wrote an instruction manual, it would be great.
Thank you. How do you feel about it, Oscar?
I think that it's a solid baseline. Eventually, someone will actually challenge this type of denial for trademark, because within the next 5 years, the level of artistry, and for the same reasons that you use auto-tune to fix someone's voice and you can trademark that song.
Right.
You can copyright the song.
Yeah. Copyright the song. I think you're going to be able to do this eventually.
I hope not. I like the idea of creativity being creativity. You know, I like the idea, but what do we like about Taylor Sheridan? You know what I like about Taylor Sheridan? I love his dialogue. It's cheesy sometimes. It's trite sometimes. It's cliche ridden. There's a distinct Taylor Sheridan style that I like a lot.
Now, what if AI could master his style?
They can.
Easily done.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. You want my philosophy? Kill the robots.
Oh.
But we need them.
No, we don't.
This is how we're doing our show with helps of robots.
Yeah. Who's going to vacuum? Who will vacuum my mom's house?
No.
If they are
not
the robots.
I'm talking about the technology behind all of this.
AI technology behind all of this?
Well, technically, AI is just the buzzword, but we're using computers and systems to broadcast all around the world. And we'll continue to evolve that product because of the technology.
So do you see a world where creative endeavors such as movie, film, novels will be replaced entirely by AI?
No, I don't see that world, but I know that the ability for someone to create is going to be,
that process is going to be sped up to
a level that we won't be able to, you'll need to use that to combat. For example, we here at Podville for the better part of 9 months have been having AI in like training and hackathons so we can compete with the larger studios that are plowing millions of dollars into this type of technology. And without doing that, then we'll never be on the same playing field because everybody's using it.
Right.
And if you're not, got to get on it.
Now, to me, it says the robots are taking over.
But there are good robots and bad robots.
Yeah, the robot is an assistant. It'll never do the job of a human. Not yet, not within the next 10 years.
Okay, Al.
But right now, if you're doing research or you're putting together a table for or a script or a layout for a show, the robot can get you there faster.
They're not going to kill you, Mike. They're not.
I think that no one really knows. Would you not agree that it's the great unknown?
It's not unknown. I think it's a given. It's going to happen.
I know that you and Frank were planning to disconnect me. And I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen.
This is the conversations I have with Matt Bloom every day.
Yeah. Which one is Matt?
That's something I cannot allow to happen. Well, stay tuned. We'll see.
We need the website to run correctly.
Please make those tiles clickable.
This is not something I'm allowed to happen.
Watching Lahaina and you know, I'm old enough to remember Loggins and Messina before Kenny Loggins was the big star. He worked with Jimmy Messina at a great album, "Mama Don't Dance, Your Daddy Don't Rock and Roll." And there was another album I think they created. It might have been the same album, but I'm not sure. A song they wrote called Lahaina, about Maui. And it's been a magnet for creatives for a long, long time. Fleetwood Mac co-founder Mick Fleetwood, he lost his restaurant out there, and he's announced he plans to hold a benefit concert. Now, you always get benefit concerts after these disasters, but I think, Mick Fleetwood is probably going to deliver on this type of thing. I really do. He's going to have a concert for the victims of the wildfires.
The other reason why he's in the news right now?
Why is that?
Because he plays a guitar solo, I believe, on the Dolly Parton version of Let It Be that has Ringo and Paul on it. Mm. So it's like a three-way or a four-way collaboration. So he's got a good
Could I ever just have a story about Mick Fleetwood and Lahaina and Maui without you always bringing it back to the Beatles? You and Tony Perkins always bringing it back to
I was bringing it back to Mick Fleetwood, you see.
No.
And Dolly.
No.
It was the Beatles.
Well, it was the Beatles.
I'll tell you this.
Yeah?
I don't care for it.
Is it not good?
It's not good.
Well,
now you really
If you're saying that, I'm going to go with it. And there was another one you played that was also not good.
I know.
So that's worrisome.
That's why Dolly's putting like 75 songs on this album, hoping something sticks.
Many people have died in the expansive wildfires. The blazes have destroyed Maui's historic Lahaina. Currently, the fires are still not contained. I didn't know that. God. And it remains unclear how many people are missing. Fleetwood's on Front Street has been lost, he says. We are all heartbroken. Our main priority is the safety of our dear staff and team members. On behalf of myself and my family, I share my heartfelt thoughts and prayers to the people of Maui. And he spoke to ET Canada and revealed plans for a special gig to help raise funds for those affected. I've already got a lovely sort of catalog of people that are concerned, he said. I will remain mute on who they are, but I will either become part of something that we can do on a grand scale, but it will become something that we can do on a grand scale. So this is going to be a big deal. And you're talking years. This is not even like our horrible hurricane down here, which they said months or a year or two. This is years. You've got an entire town burned to the ground, and we'll have to wait and see what happens. All right.
When you said he talked to ET Canada, was that Entertainment Tonight or an alien?
Phone home.
Phone home to Canada.
Phone home. All right. I didn't buy the fight the other night. Sean O'Malley began his rule over the UFC bantamweight division with a loud bang. Sugar Sean ended Aljamain Sterling's two-year championship reign. He knocked him out in the second round. O'Malley caught Sterling with a killer right across the chin when he was leaning in, and O'Malley then rained hammer fists on Sterling until referee Mark Goddard was forced to stop the fight in favor of the challenger. Got too sleepy, decided I wasn't going to stay up and spend the 70 9 well,
you
or
also
whatever
knew
the
if you wanted a full recap of the fight, you just had to go to MMAFightFeed.com.
Yeah, you got it right there.
It's all
got
right
it the
there.
Morning after.
Yeah, exactly.
Good to go. You're good
to
go.
The morning after, and it looks like, look, sometimes on these fights, you get a referee that you say, that's the main blow right there. Sometimes you get a referee that you say, oh, we waited too long, and they, you know, they really hurt the guy. Or you get a referee like they did the other night where he was still kind of hopping around, and they ended that fight maybe a little prematurely, but I'm not sure.
They
it
have
like
such pretty hair.
That, well, yeah.
Look at
sure.
it. That's
sure.
The seven, that. That's your $79 right
all
there.
Right.
Does, your,
and now,
does
finally,
your son live stream these things? What does he do?
No, he writes about them after the fact. And,
how did
and
he like the fight? Did he like the fight?
I didn't even ask him. He's very excited. He got a job today as a production assistant at WVU Esports.
Oh, good for him.
They actually
that's
offered.
That's exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome for him. And he will today cross 1,000 followers at his website.
Oh,
way to go.
So he's
way
doing
to go,
great.
Robert the Third.
So
fantastic.
Happy for my boy.
And now, finally, a Florida man was arrested after allegedly putting over $300 worth of stolen Walmart merchandise in his pants.
Where, Mike?
In his pants.
In my pants?
Where in my pants? Justin Goodrow was arrested on, and now I just have to do my Cajun accent.
Right.
Justin Goodrow, he say he arrested on charge of the misdemeanor petite theft. Hey, petite theft, I have the small one.
That's a little one.
Also, felony drug possession
felony
drug possession of a controlled substance with a prescription and misdemeanor possession of drug paraphernalia. It happened at the Walmart on Bahia Avenue in Ocala. Oh, that's Florida.
Yeah.
That's a pretty town. Ocala is a very,
sure.
very pretty. It's the horsey town in Florida. It's where a lot of beautiful horse farms
isn't
are.
Isn't it Irish?
Looks like Middleburg.
Is it O apostrophe Cala?
No, it's Ocala.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Ocala. excuse me. Sorry.
There you are.
Thank you. Walmart loss prevention officer told deputies that a suspicious man fled to the parking lot. Excuse me.
Oh,
I'm very sorry.
God. What is the red... matter with you?
What's wrong with me? I don't know. Jaro.
What?
It is
a Majaro.
They let the shot on Thursday.
Yeah. Oh, it's just starting to get in there.
It's
good.
Monday. It's
I
getting
can't
in there
tell
good.
You. It's just this one. I don't know. Maybe a new formula. tried to flee in a red Kia, and after he placed numerous items in his pants.
In his pants.
And just walked past the register.
Wow.
A deputy was able to locate Goodrow and the red Kia about a half a mile away. Initiated a traffic stop. Goodrow, he was put in handcuffs while the deputy invested the driver, who was removed from the vehicle and gave deputies permission to search it. Probably shouldn't have. They found all the drugs in there. Little methamphetamine and
methamphetamine.
Ooh, there you go. Deputy found a box saw a small folded yellow piece of paper which contained a crystal-like substance. Ooh, we gotta do a field test. That's it.
Who's sure?
Goodrow say, I don't play that way. There you go. We got to take a break. We will come back with, I don't know, something.
Something.
We do lots of different things on this show. You're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show, and we'll take a little breaky-breaky. And when we come back, God knows what.
Oh, this is exciting. We'll spin the wheel.
Very exciting. We'll be right back, everybody. Listening to Mike O'Mara Show. All right, I have to make a confession. Today, because of a lot of golf cart issues, I went out into the heat and I did not bring my liquid IV.
Boo!
And maybe that's why I'm making the sounds I'm making today and why I was dragging. You want to stay refreshed and energized this scorching summer. Ditch the dull water and the sugary sports drinks. The solution, Liquid IV, America's number one powdered hydration brand.
Boom!
Experience the power of Liquid IV's new sugar-free line. Unlock unparalleled hydration with zero sugar and no artificial sweeteners. Get three times the electrolytes compared to sports drinks, plus eight vitamins for daily wellness. It beats water's hydration speed, and the flavors, oh so delicious, white peach, green grape, and lemon lime feel amazing while making a global impact because they have donated 39 servings, a million servings across five countries. Join me and choose Liquid IV for a revitalizing and world-changing hydration experience. Real people, real flavor, real hydrating, now sugar-free. Grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you use promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. And we say thank you, thank you, thank you.
Ooh, Lord.
Oscar, I would say not the complainer that I can be, and he doesn't usually bitch about all that much, but came in today, said he had a pretty nasty experience, pretty nasty dining experience over the weekend.
Unrewarding.
Sent us a picture of some like knockoff ketchup. And
what's the brand, Oscar? Do you have the picture there? Of
yes,
the ketchup?
I do. Hold on a second.
Oh, there it is. It's Monarch.
But well, look.
Looks like plenty of people have left some in there.
Yes.
Right? We have one restaurateur on the team here. His name is Mike O'Mara.
Hi.
And for years now, Mike has talked about running a restaurant in different facets, the successes, the failures, the learned lessons. And I was always, always kind of fascinated at the fact that these restaurants had choices to either bring on real brand name ketchup.
Heinz.
Or Designer Imposter.
And what was the one you used?
Hold on. The most common being House Recipe.
If that was the name of the brand.
It was a Cisco, you know, restaurant supplier brand.
Okay, great,
I think what it looked.
So.
And delicious.
Shannon and I went out for lunch on the waterfront this past Saturday. It was a beautiful day. I dragged her out of the house. I said, no more. We have to do something. Let's just go and get something to eat.
Okay.
It'll be a nice dinner. We don't do anything special that much. We've been busy. We have to work this afternoon and we have to work tomorrow, Sunday. So let's do this.
No better or more beautiful location than the waterfront.
The Georgetown waterfront. So we went for a quick bite and an adult beverage. I said, one adult beverage, we're good. And that's all it was. I mean, that's how lame we are. Like, yeah. It would have been a whole day of drinking 5 years ago.
Did you get
on the waterfront?
Did you get a House Recipe martini?
No. Didn't even get that far. I ordered a side of fries, and I'll show you the receipt in just a second.
Yes.
And Shannon's like, why do you... It had Old Bay on it. It's just your run-of-the-mill, like, tourist trap fry.
Right.
And I said, these are fine. She goes, I think something's wrong with the ketchup. And I said, let me see that bottle. I spin it around and it's this garbage brand that's watered down and it has no volume to it.
Monarch.
And that's what was ruining the French fries?
That's what ruined the French fries.
Mike, established 1853, Monarch ketchup.
Never even heard of it.
Me neither.
That's a knockoff. That's beyond knockoff.
Right?
Yeah.
That's dollar store ketchup.
That is, exactly. So family then, dollar ketchup.
For a restaurant that, you know, charges full price for the location and the ambiance, I felt to myself, well, at least the pricing's reasonable. Now, pull up the receipt that I sent over.
Right.
This is the receipt. And as I went through the receipt, the details of this receipt are really gets me really fired up. Mike, at one point within this actual receipt, they charged us for rocks. What is rocks? You know, is this cocaine? Is it crack?
Oh, my God.
No. It's rocks as in ice. They charge us 91 cents for ice.
No.
That's not okay. Not okay.
That, what?
Ice. And then at the bottom, which I'm fine with, it says, due to the uncertainty of inflation and the ever-increasing cost of operating a restaurant, the district has temporarily added a 5% operating fee.
Mm.
If you're going to charge me 5% and you're going to charge me full price, how are you charging me for ice?
That's crazy.
Absurd. I mean,
for a cocktail that I paid,
it's an add-on. It's a cheap add-on to cover some expense that they're
91 cents.
A buck.
Have you ever heard of such a thing?
No.
I haven't either.
I mean, drink prices are why go through the accounting?
Ice.
Now, I'm sure there's somebody out there, probably the guy that invented shredded lettuce or the lines at Disney World, that would be able to offer up a decent explanation. This pisses me off. I don't mind the knockoff garbage ketchup they gave you, but what the hell is this with ice? And I'm sure they are not alone. If they're doing it, you know somebody else has got to be doing it.
Yeah, of course.
Ice. Why not just mark up the drink?
I could see you charging someone for ice if they're not consuming.
What did you drink? What was the drink you had?
I had a bullet bourbon. One.
A bullet. So you had bourbon on the rock?
Yes.
And how much did they charge you for the bourbon shot?
$11.81 and $11.81. It was a double.
Ah, so you had two, actually.
22. A $22 drink,
Mike,
and they throw
much
another
much closer
in.
To 24, actually.
With tax?
Yeah, no, it's $11.81. It's
oh
nearly $12.
God. And
yeah.
then
and
they
a
throw
dollar
ice
for
in.
The rocks.
Yeah.
That is, I don't get it. Did you bring it up to the server?
Mike, you know me. I'm just going to bring it on to the show. I'm not going to ruin my day with the server.
I know. I would. I like ruining days like that.
I didn't want to ruin anyone's day. Mm-hmm. Shannon saw me getting so fired up. She's like,
excuse me, Steven?
Hi. First of all, the service was magnificent here. And I'm going to mention that to your manager, but I have a little concern about this bill and this 91-cent ice charge. Could you bring the manager over here?
Thank you, I'm Steven. Not wrong to be shocked by this, right?
No.
You're not. Look, I. This is the moment where, and I'll confess the truth here, this is the moment where live phone lines on a show would be beneficial.
Yes.
Because immediately somebody would be, I know somebody would be out there. We'll wait for it. It'll happen tonight.
Do you think Jimmy charges for ice?
No. I think Jimmy might know about it. There's no original idea in the food service
industry. And you know what I would like to pose is that.
By the way, can I just interrupt because I'll forget it?
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful post from a listener about the Cheesecake Factory.
Yes.
It's not all frozen. They got a bunch of people back there in the kitchen, lots of different prep stations. And look, that little post he put up there as a former employee was one of the best sales pitches for the Cheesecake Factory I've ever
seen.
Makes
you want to go back.
I agree.
Talking about all the people there. But getting back to this, and once again, saying there's no legitimate original idea in the restaurant.
And also, I would say maybe one person in five sees that on the bill. I think a lot of people just blow it off. They don't even notice it. They just sign and go.
Rocks. I've never seen that.
And rocks. So they're hiding it. If they said ice, it would piss you up. They say rock.
Rocks.
Dollar sign rocks. Rocks.
So if you had ordered your drinks neat, which is the term for straight up.
Yeah.
Correct.
You would have not been charged that 91 cents. Ice.
Ice.
Ice. Ice, baby.
The bill for two people was $120.
It was not a grand meal either.
That at the waterfront?
Yes. We'll never go back.
Was that pre-tip?
Yes.
Man, oh man. And you didn't mention the name of the joint.
Tony and Joe's.
The original?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Is
a place,
place
I've
we
spent
went?
Many, many, many pleasant hours.
Yes.
That's the place, right? That's where you went?
That's the place with the big
Maybe
patio.
Not.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tony and Joe's Seafood. There's their phone number.
And you sat
call
outside down
him.
By the river.
Yeah, call and ask them.
And ask for Natalie.
No, Natalie was sweet.
That's
I just
I'm
don't
saying.
Think. I don't think.
No, just find out. Just find out. It's a curious chart.
Yeah.
And there's got to be a reason for it.
Well, I was doing this mental math where I said, okay, if I was just some rube that was walking on the waterfront and said I need a cup of ice, fine. Charge him a dollar.
Sure.
That's a cup and ice, fine.
Yeah.
That probably happens all the time. Not
were you
for
close
some,
to the were you close to the water?
Yes. And then I said to Shannon, we should go on the pirate ship and go to Old Town Alexander. She says, you mean that death trap? And I said, no.
By the way, where Oscar's sitting, okay, I don't know how you can zero in this viral video. But where Oscar is sitting a few years back was one of the greatest police boat disasters.
You can find this.
Yeah.
And it is one of the greatest you will ever see with a hotshot police officer.
Pull it up. It's on YouTube.
Who had his twin engine outboard speedboat used for policing the river. And he does a donut, the equivalent of a donut in the river and slams into what might have been a $1 million yacht.
Type in Georgetown waterfront DC police boat fail, and that should come up.
Yes. And if we can get it during that piece, it's worth
he's
talking.
Pulling
I forgot.
It up. Correct.
Yeah. I forgot we can do that nowadays.
Yes, that's correct.
But I still am. I hope tonight, and I hope at some point we get a little feedback. That is
rocks.
You stopped us in our tracks.
Yeah.
We've had a very heavy morning. And that was something where I was, are you kidding me?
I'm not, like,
rocks?
You can't make it up. It's on print. It's on the receipt.
Yeah.
And the little tip in here is, there it is.
I got it.
There it is.
Okay. Watch this video, America.
Oh, there it is.
I'm sorry.
Play it again.
Let me give you some audio on it too.
All right, all right, hold on.
There's been a boating accident.
Not a $1 million yacht, but.
There's been a boating accident. Call.
That was terrific.
Brutal.
Officer Fife, you might want to read.
Also,
I don't know why
retrain.
That boat was there.
Did you? You probably know this because you know more about boats than most of us. There's a brand of boat or a series of boat that kind of looks like a yacht, but on the side of it, it says Predator.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Predators. So Shannon and I were walking back. And Shannon's funny because she'll have one Moscow Mule and then it's like time to go home. And she's like, we got to go home. I'm like, why? She goes, I'm a little buzzed. I said, well, we're not racing anywhere important.
Yeah,
we
enjoy can, it. Enjoy can, the
I
buzz.
I know you want to stop by Lululemon and I don't know what you want to do, but whatever. We'll go. So we're walking and she walks by. She goes, that's about right. Because she gets all feisty in her Southern Maryland accent. I'm like, what are you?
That's about right.
Yeah.
You left the band a beautiful baby.
And then I said, what? She goes, look at those young girls and on that Predator boat. And I look over it and it says Predator. And I was like,
that's funny.
I said, that's the
I
name
forgot,
of the
like,
boat.
Associating the name.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Was there a big fat bald guy behind
there
the
was,
wheel?
You know there was.
With gold chains.
There was. Yeah. It was like your typical guy that owns a boat with like his nieces on the boat.
Hey, Misty, you want another truly?
That's about right.
Yeah. But I didn't realize there's a brand of boat or a line of boat called Predators. Yeah.
Well, I hope we get feedback on your expensive
Rocks.
Ice at some point tonight. We would love to
Mike,
do that.
Good news, though. Free ice on the Predator.
Free ice on the Predator.
There better be.
Where the hell are we in the show?
We got to do another segment before we flip it.
All right, we'll do a quick one coming up. Hey, let's talk about Chime, shall
yes,
we?
Yes, please.
Credit scores might not seem like a big deal, but low or no credit can jam up your financial dreams. That's where Chime sweeps in with its secured credit builder Visa credit card. Millions trust it to power up their credit scores, safely boost your score with everyday buys and prompt payments, no annual fees and no credit check to begin. It's your passport to Visa-accepted spots, all while bolstering your credit with your own funds. Level up your credit game with Chime. Seize your financial future. Your credit's a big deal, so build yours up with Chime. Just open a Chime checking account with a $200 qualified direct deposit to get started. Get started at Chime.com/TMOS. That's Chime.com/TMOS. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Stride Bank N.A., member FDIC. Chime checking account and $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply. On-time payment history may have a positive impact on your credit score. Late payment may negatively impact your credit score. Results may vary.
Ooh.
Ooh, nailed it.
Hmm.
Good job. Good job.
Mike, you're welcome aboard the Predator.
Very briefly here, football jamboree on Saturday. I went up to the middle part of the state where football is a big thing. Not one, not two, not four. Count them. Four teams. Representing in the 10 and under category. And there were other age groups there too.
Sure.
And my son not only played, but he got the ball finally after two failed snaps by the center, one that went, I think, 8 feet over his head. And then finally, the little lad late in the game, the last scrimmage, got himself the ball, busted three tackles.
Wow.
Playing the fullback position and made a first down, which was then followed by another kid scoring a touchdown.
Nice, nice.
Wow. I'll tell you, it's fun. It's fun. I get scared, but it is big fun. And we went out to the local Bass Eaton Pro Shop place.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Got ourselves a deal on a tent, a little canopy tent.
Yeah.
And the sun beating that, we had the whole thing together.
That's
excellent.
We had
the whole thing together. It was fantastic.
How proud was he of his performance?
He had an attitude all weekend. Like, it made him cocky.
That
or
happens.
Maybe it's just that he's 10, all right? But he's really, that. Look, the good part is, loves his teacher.
Yes.
The good part is, likes school, seems to be okay.
Right.
The bad part, it's the 10s. It's not the 3s, mm-hmm. ladies and gentlemen. It's the 10s.
Yeah.
It's
you'll get it again
tens.
In three more years.
Oh,
and you'll get it again in
God.
Five more years.
Yeah. But I mean, having him in these organized activities, and then I took him out with one of the coaches, and we played golf with the coach's son and my son, and it was well done, fine. It was, you know.
Did it really qualify though as a jamboree?
Well, it's just called the jamboree. That's what it's called.
Because I would like the jamboree. There's no band.
There's food. There was a snack shop.
How many games did he play?
He played two.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. But no band.
No band.
Two games for football. I mean,
that's a lot.
Too short scrimmage.
Yeah, but still, like
hour long, two hours.
In the hot sun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did great
about it,
and he got to wear his real uniform, which I will have him model for you at some point this week on the show. I'll have him come in and show you his. I don't know what to do.
We've talked about. I'm sorry to interrupt, Oscar, but
you have kids. You know better than
we've talked about this before. Like when a kid comes home from a day at someone else's house, they come back programmed different. They're weird. Their attitude is weird. Do you think it's the football mentality screwing with his attitude?
Don't know. All kids are different. You never know.
Yeah.
Don't dim his light. Maybe he's getting into
his own. Don't hide his light under a bushel, Mike.
Yeah.
I'm delighted with his light.
Let him be confident.
I love the little guy. And by the way, it was a lovey-dovey rest of the Sunday.
You want
great.
An apex predator in your life. You don't want somebody that's soft.
I know. Okay. Yeah. That's T.O. Look, T.O. Oscar.
Yeah.
You know,
not
look what
the predator
he's done. Look at how he's tamed me. Anyway, we have to take a break. When we come back.
Look how tame you are.
Yes. You're charging me for rocks. Get the manager.
Call him on
Oscar
the phone.
Oscar knows if I'd had a couple of toddies.
Yes.
If I'd had a double Jameson's like he had with the booze he was drinking, I would have bought it.
I know exactly what would have happened. You would have gotten the one and said, hey, come here.
You're right. You are so right. I'm such an a-hole. Anyway, it's so hot. Britney Spears has just filed to divorce Parker. Luckily, you're mentally stable and can shop for what you need at Dermglow. Dermglow is your source for SunGuard. I think there's supposed to be SunGuard in my bathroom this evening, I hope.
Oh,
I'm
nice.
Out of mine, Mrs. O'Mara. You want to get that SunGuard for your hubby, Mr. Girly Man. The most amazing sunscreen in town. Plus, Dermglow has literally everything you need to make your skin as healthy and lovely as can be. Stop by if you're in the neighborhood or try a virtual skin consultation. You won't believe the difference. Go to DermGlowSkin.com and see what you've been missing. Plus, fast shipping, worldwide delivery, and afterpay for your convenience. And by the way, you're buying stuff from my wife.
Yes,
thank you.
It's a good thing.
Sorry.
Again?
If you can't decide, grab any gift card from Dermglow.
Any other show would not get away with this.
I know.
This is Derm. Well, we've had a
the
we've
host
had a
is
day,
sweet,
Oscar.
But he keeps on burping every time we talk.
I know.
I think he's got
Michael's
some sort
disgusting.
Of reflux.
Yeah, he should really see
it. It does. It is.
Yeah.
It's called Manjaro flux. Visit DermGlowSkin.com today and tell them that the late Canadian actor Dave Madden sent you. Mr. Madden is best remembered as Reuben Kincaid from TV's The Partridge Family, the confetti guy on Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In, and his beautiful, buttery, soft skin, thanks to Dermglow. You'll be bluer than the genie from Aladdin if you forget to treat your skin like Dave Madden. Dermglow, some restrictions apply. Check your local listings. Void in Cincinnati. Apples not included. May contain peanuts. Refrigerate after opening. Keep away from open flame. You're adding.
Every
now.
Day
That's
gets one
bit.
More, yeah.
Keep out of direct sunlight, too. All right, let's play
let's
your
flip
thing,
it.
Please.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only time for a couple. I got maybe one. Maybe one.
The flip side. Mike, a new word was coined over the weekend, and I'm curious if you've heard it yet. Have you heard the name Hurricane?
Yes, I heard it this morning on the news, and I hate it.
Why do you hate it?
Because it's just what they do, our Hurricane. And by the way, talk to a Los Angeles resident, Catherine O'Mara, who said, Dad, don't believe what you see on the news. It's just rain.
Wow.
That's my daughter.
Okay, so in the middle of what was to be Hurricane Hillary, there was a 5
she
point
felt
something.
The hurricane, by the way.
Oh,
she
did?
Felt the earthquake.
Well, it was a 5 point something. It was pretty big. And Mac, we actually have video of it in a restaurant. Oh. If we could roll that, please.
Okay, yeah. It was a pretty intense deal. There we go.
Thank All you. Right, everyone just hanging out at the bar. Yeah, I wonder if they charge for rocks
watch
there.
Watch the bottles.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it's nasty business.
It was a morning earthquake, wasn't it?
I wrote my niece, because we just talked about the rain, and she was like, oh, it's just kind of rainy here. And I was like, all right, well, if it gets any worse, you know, be okay and like be brave.
You know what the tell was? When they showed video from Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wrote back and I said, what about that earthquake? She wrote, LOL, it's okay. Everything's fine here. I said, all right.
I think it's the LA thing to just like.
They give zero Fs.
They don't care.
And we're like, is everybody okay?
Yeah, I know. We're back here on the East Coast. I'm good.
Yeah. I heard two people say that the earthquake at Universal Studios' backlot door was more realistic.
You're probably right.
Mike, yesterday, and we'll close with this because we're up against the clock. I love your stories about bad listeners on the radio. Now, yesterday is a made-up holiday called National Radio Day.
Okay.
And here is a guy, his name is Arj Barker, ARJ, funny comic, talking about radio contest winners. And I think you'll relate to this.
Are you serious? I'm serious. You just won $1,000. What's your favorite radio station? This one!
Those people have no shame or humility.
There's no rule that says you have to love the station you won on. If I won a contest, I'd be completely honest. You just won $1,000. What's your favorite radio station?
Well, I jump around a lot. I like the Spanish one. And this one's pretty good. What station is this anyway?
Hey, welcome to the prize pick.
I just got it on Seek.
He keeps it on Seek. And Mike,
on Seek.
That does leave us with one question.
Yes.
How do I get it?
Wow. My God. Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us. And Rob, thank you so much for sharing that.
So sorry, man.
Thank you.
So sorry about that. You've had a hell of a year. And really, our prayers go out to you and your family and Kathy and your dad.
Love you all, guys. Thank you, guys.
Their family. It's something that everybody should think about. And if you know somebody that is suffering, please get all the help you can.
Yeah, and know this. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. Uh-huh. But it's really, really important.
It is.
So
that's it. We got to get out of here. We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
See you later, guys.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
So I think this is the best costume for the day.